Okay, I will call to order the meeting of the Historic Preservation Commission. It is Thursday, December 5th, 2019, at 7:03. Calling the roll, Commissioner Prestis.
Here.
Commissioner Forehand is absent. Commissioner Reno Ogden.
Here.
Chairman Franek.
Here.
Commissioner Graham White.
Here.
Commissioner Pritz.
Here.
And we do have a quorum. There is no public testimony.
There are no members of the public present, therefore there's no public testimony. Approval of the minutes for October 24th. Does anyone have any requests for changes?
None here.
I wasn't here.
I move to approve the minutes.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So passed. Additional ways to protect significant properties. It's kind of the catch-all way of every month.
I do have a couple updates I figured I could start with. One was that there was kind of a flurry of window reviews since, and since we hadn't met in some time, I was going to pull those up and just kind of give you that synopsis. But essentially those, actually, I'm sorry, just two since our last meeting. So 1044 Forest, that's the big house on the corner. It's got, I don't know what you call the silo-like feature.
Tower.
Tower in the front of it is kind of its most recognizable thing. They put new windows on their garage, so Dave and David reviewed those and approved those. And then 7426 Iowa, and that was new windows throughout, but same thing. They were reviewed and
replaced as kind.
Yeah, replaced in kind. And then just one follow-up item from a previous meeting was pretty much the discussion about the women's club, and there are some zoning questions related to that and things like that. Basically, I my promise to you was to go to the village attorney and ask kind of what was able to be done there, and basically his opinion was that in order to get a real read on, you know, obviously he, like Dave did, could kind of flip through the deed restrictions and things like that and get a general read, but to get a real read on subordination and things like that, there'd be some ordering of the titles through you know, the trust companies, and then some deeper analysis in there. And so that's not something that I've had him do to this point, but it would, you know, I had him just for the information kind of estimate that work, and he thought that probably between ordering that and doing the analysis would probably be to the tune about $7,500. So it's just something that I wasn't going to go down that road. It's not something that's really a pending case, but I just bring that back to the commission as kind of the report back information. Not to say that we could never do that, but just for kind of your information, that'd probably be something where the commission could pitch that as a priority to the village board for approval if that's something that we found we were interested in or what have you.
Well, it kind of ties into things we can do to help preserve other buildings. That Chicago does offer on historic homes an increase in the FAR. If you're working on a historic home, preserving it, we could also look at setbacks. It could be limited a little bit. I don't know how, that's a lot of channels to go through to get that done through zoning and everything
zoning
else.
Changes,
but
sure. Yeah, certainly, yeah, all things that I think the village board would hear ideas on. You know, I think that the interesting part with just the women's club case is the fact that we haven't really had involvement, like, you know, heavy involvement from the homeowner or, you know, a prospective buyer. I know there's been some conversations had with prospective buyers, but without that, without like a really pending question, you know, I think there'd have to be something to kind of hang your hat on as to why we were going to go down that path. So,
yeah.
I question on this because I sent you an email and you sent it on to Dave about that this house had been foreclosed on and was up for auction, and I don't know how to investigate whether it was actually auctioned off. I know those things get postponed and postponed and postponed.
Yeah. I mean, the village's involvement from the real estate side of things is really the transfer tax stamp. So most of you guys are probably familiar with those, but it's at the sale of the property. It's usually, you know, our notice or our involvement in that process is usually just a few days before closing on a property. So,
Traditionally, though, when there's an auction, please correct me if I'm wrong, isn't the normal procedure to place some notice of the auction on the premises, in the premises, you know, in the yard, and an on-premises procedure to go through?
To be honest, I don't know, Dave.
Okay, I've never gone through one.
I'm not very versed in the real estate auction.
It makes sense that there should be.
But yeah.
Right, yeah. I mean, I'm not aware that that occurred.
Yeah.
What is the price down to on the women's club? Do you know?
It was the last I saw, it was $632. The auction estimate was something like $600. I know.
I can find
what that. A deal. Man.
I know.
It's currently listed on Redfin at $588.
You guys want to go in on it?
That's what I'm thinking.
I mean, I was thinking.
and
I might want to do that.
And
thinking.
On Zillow, it's $623.
In the village itself.
Yeah, I mean that. I mean, I'm just trying to think out of the box on how to. I mean, it's a village icon, and
yeah.
From my conversations with Landmarks Illinois, they hold two preservation easements: one on the exterior, one on the interior. And as to both, they will discuss any proposal by a potential buyer. However, when I had raised a question as to some minor, what I felt were comparatively minor changes to the, I'll call it the entry floor, to include some plumbing to be used as a kitchen, they indicated that was far in excess of what they would be willing to sign off on.
I have a question about that, though. How does anybody know that those easements are being followed? I mean, obviously, they would have to get, the owner would have to get permits from the village.
So,
according to the individual I spoke with at Landmarks Illinois, who's responsible to act, if you will, as steward of all the various preservation easements that are in favor of Landmarks Illinois, they do a site inspection once a year.
Ooh.
To examine the property to determine that nothing has been done to violate those. And I was told that they view the sanctity of those preservation easements particularly strongly.
There is kind of an interesting added layer to it too that Carla brought up last time, that it's now zoned as a residential home, R2, when it was converted to that. But the deed restriction easements kind of lead it to be a public space as well, require it to be open to the public a day a year, and require it not to be converted any further inside, really. Would you agree with that, Dave?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
What I've recently read is that the Women's Club tried to donate it to the Park District. I think that was in 2005, and the Park District turned it down because they didn't think they would have the resources to, you know, keep it up.
I don't know of that, but.
But they had, I think the Park District had been using it for public, basically public events or some. So.
It just off first blush, kind of anecdotally, it does seem that it would be difficult to even upkeep in its current condition, given the fact that it's so tightly protected, in the sense that, you know, just anecdotally, Dave, I think you shared last time that you talked to some people that were looking at even repairing existing plumbing and things like that.
Yeah, they were looking to insert plumbing to basically add a kitchen to what I'll call the entry level.
Mm-hmm.
And that was shot down.
Right. So.
Kitchen in the basement is
the kitchen's in the
gorgeous.
It is. It is. It's
a huge kitchen,
yeah.
But it's in the basement.
It's a really unique space.
Yeah.
And
I thought you had to keep the stage, other things you could mess with, but apparently not.
It's even more than just keeping the stage and opening it one day a year for public arts purposes. And I use that as a broad brush
mm-hmm.
statement as to what the public use is, but it's interesting.
Yeah, the interesting parts too that just again sharing because I've read through it now. When the easement was written, it did allow for a couple of things that have come up since. So the easement like specifically allows for the addition of solar panels and for a four-car garage in the southeast corner of the lot. So if you remember, this is actually the property where the whole garage thing started, was because a potential buyer was saying, I know I could build a garage, but can I tear down the existing, I don't know, I'll call it a shed is really kind of what it is. And that's how our whole demolition of a garage thing even started. So just kind of anecdotal.
We're working on that, by the way, because my wife wants to rebuild our garage.
Yeah, pretty
not historic to what the house was, but
pretty much we just defaulted to treating it like any other structure, including the primary structure. If you kind of remember, we did it once with 755 William. Is that the address?
Yeah,
maybe not. Yeah, 755 William, which is the one on the corner there in Chicago. They wanted to tear down that garage, and since it was not related to the home, the commission found that to be a historically appropriate option to tear down that garage and issued the COA, but it did require the public hearing for a demolition.
And it's since been replaced by a rather large structure.
Not as big as the house.
And then you should have some control over
mm-hmm.
garages.
Speaking of other things we've looked at, unless there's a recent change within the last couple of days, the home on Franklin, which was demolished, has until recently had little, if any, site work, and now there appears to be a foundation hole has been dug. Was it 1123 Franklin?
1123.
It's kind of stone
yeah, yeah,
one.
That one.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Perhaps the urgency has passed.
One other significant property that has been in foreclosure, and it's been in foreclosure for off and on over the past, I think, 6 or 7 years, maybe longer than that, which is 601 Franklin. It's a big stone house. Like that, I remember being in foreclosure, I'm thinking six. In 2009, 2010, on and off. So I don't know what's going on with that.
Huh.
601, yeah.
Is it 601 or is it 633?
Yeah.
601.
Okay.
Big front porch on it.
Mm-hmm. Big front porch.
Central dormer. Yeah.
Big lot.
1.4 million. 1.45 is what's.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great looking place.
Yeah.
It is.
Jeez.
It is.
You can get the women's house for women's
picture.
Club for a third of that.
Not quite as helpful as that. Let me see.
Better block though.
Got some junk on the back, but
I think we need a new meeting space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. something like that.
We'll start having our dinners there too, apparently, with the kitchen.
With the kitchen, yeah.
Going to the meeting, when will you be back? Monday.
Yes, we have a new chef this week.
Yeah.
Anything else people would like to discuss?
I'll write up what Chicago offers for incentives for historic homes.
Okay.
Yeah.
To us, that's
one of the things that we had talked about at some point, and I just don't know that it had any legs, was, and this was back just after the new ordinance, which I think was 2015 or 16, maybe, Dave, the new HPC ordinance, but was discounting permits for historic work is just a way of incentivizing, investment into properties under the understanding that properties that were invested in had less of a chance of being teared down.
Yeah, Chicago, you pay for it, then you get your money back.
Okay.
About a year later. But
okay. Yeah. Yeah, that could be an option.
Mm-hmm.
Not something we currently do. If there's nothing else.
Question of preservation, you mean, on the general topic?
Sure.
So, I was thinking, based on the last meeting, and I remember I missed a couple before that, Jen got up and talked about the house walk, and we talked about the awards and, whether or not the awards should be brought in. We kind of came down against that for people who build something new, that sort of thing. And I was thinking, the way this seems to be shaping up is, in terms of actually being able to perform historic preservation, we just clearly don't have that capability in the sense of the statute. And, what it seems is our objective is to put in front of the residents of the village a process, and it seems to depend on the neighborhood, that some people are going to feel so passionately like they did for Williams, or they're going to be relieved like they were with Franklin. But the whole purpose that we have is to get a conversation going where a decision can be made. Now, the homeowner has the ultimate decision, right, relative to what they want to do. In each case, they went through the process and they just, listen, but they still went, but things still wound up in the same place. We have a history here of the homeowner wants to tear it down, they tear it down. That's all there is to it. They can make changes, except in these rare instances where you've got something like we're talking about for the 19th Century Women's Club, where somebody has handed off to somebody else, kind of, and then the protections are pretty strong. Or there's landmark protection. I mean, there are a couple of places where it's done, but not a lot. So, and the reason I'm bringing this up in the context of Jan's comments in the last meeting was because it seems to me the only tool we've got, and we've talked about it from time to time in meetings, is education. We've talked about going out working with realtors so that they know what historic properties are. And we were, I think, surprised to find out that they thought that was great if we told them something was historic properties. We've moved towards the having the webpage that indicates historic properties are for sale and that sort of thing. And I'm wondering if we shouldn't emphasize this more. If half preservation doesn't really go through awareness of the residents of the village in a way that we haven't done so far, because it really hasn't been a focus for us. So I'm wondering, you go to Oak Park, and the heritage of Frank Lloyd Wright is really strong. They recognize that for what it is. They value it. And I think that since that has been one of the cornerstones, that they recognize the value of that. It brings a lot into the village for them. And so they have much more of an ability to actually have statutes that support their historic preservation, because I think the village as a whole has made a decision that that's important. That's part of their character, who they are, part of their village culture. So I'm wondering if we shouldn't be trying to find a way to do that. I mean, we've flirted with it from time to time, but board level, our commission level proposal, you know, get Kathy on board, get others in the village on board, but maybe there's some way to link this all together where it could be good for merchants in the village, you know, that it could get a broader support. But maybe it needs to be pushed by us, just like other commissions push their, you know, other recycling commission, you know, what is out there trying to get the village people on board. Maybe that's something that we need to be more aggressive about. Maybe that's our only way to get historic preservation really happening.
I think one of the things that happens is I think a lot of people are in favor of the concept of preservation broadly. I think they are most aroused when something occurs on their block or in close proximity to them, or something that is an undeniably noteworthy building within the village. You know, as an example, although not the Winslow House, or, you know, the River Forest Women's Club, where everybody, you'd have to be fairly oblivious not to be aware of it, even if you don't have any interest in architecture. Most people say, gee, what's that? And I think that there are a couple of differences between us and Oak Park. I think there is an acceptance, perhaps, of a bit more involved government than here, traditionally. That's my sense. Secondly, there are a lot more businesses in Oak Park as opposed to here. We're largely a residential community. That doesn't diminish, because people are drawn to this area. In fact, and, you know, a significant portion of the people buy the homes, buy the education, buy the closeness to the city, all of which increase all of our property values. It's not a bad thing. So, you know, I'd welcome any kind of suggestions. I think there are a number of people, including members of, you know, our elected officials, who are in favor of the concept, and I think they would be favorably disposed were we to propose something. So if there's a way in terms of suggesting engagement, you know, that's only a good thing.
And I agree. I don't think as a village that we want to take the activist approach. I mean, it's pretty clear. You know, Kathy talks about this after 747, you have to balance homeowner rights versus heritage versus need to renew the stock. She's 100% right. So I don't think that we're going to get changes to the ordinance that are going to make this, you know, give us that same kind of power. I think that, you know, if people are a lot more engaged, you know, 747 Williams didn't raise a lot of awareness as a public lot, right? Although it came pretty close, because when we did have the actual, you know, open meeting, or the final meeting, right, for commentary, that was pretty well attended, right? I mean, that was clearly beyond the block.
Yeah.
Even for Franklin, I was surprised at the number of people who showed up. On the other hand, a lot of people were uninformed about what we really do. When we explained what we really do, they were like, oh my gosh, well, I don't know that, carry on.
Yeah.
You know? But and I don't have the answer, so that's why I'm bringing it up for us as a group. The thing is, we have to, I think, understand, again, going back to what Jan did, the house walk is great. House walk is only going to get X people at a time, right? So I don't know if it has to be a stronger presence. You know, what things, when does the village come together? Come together for the Memorial Day parade, right? You know, is there some way to leverage the Memorial Day parade where you've got a big audience, where you can discuss, you know, we're all there, it sounds silly, but it's certainly simplistic, but in a booth. And we're talking about the heritage, or we've got displays that draw people to discussion of the heritage, or we've got some way, you know, of doing that. We had Al having his conversations with people, and that was good, or not his presentation, and that was always good, and he always said they were well attended. But, you know, can we, are there things that the schools do where the parents show up, and PRF into this, where, you know, maybe they'd be interested in, since, you know, I mean, a lot of the kids go there. Do they have any vehicle where the parents come in? You know, and I had four kids graduate from there, and I can't think of anything. But, you know, they have an architecture class for sure, right? I mean, I'm wondering if there aren't ways that we could leverage what Dan is starting to do, what Al used to do, but in a bigger way, and go to the village, you know, go to the board and say, look, here, if we want to do these things, we need everybody's buy-in, or we're going to lose the heritage, because we are going to lose the heritage. We can't stop anything.
One of the things that I've always thought as a possibility, although I don't have any contacts there, is that it strikes me that a big part of our history as a community is our built environment. Are the structures our built environment? That, you know, I do volunteer tours over at Unity Temple, and people always ask me, why Oak Park? I mean, why all this? And I explain to people, well, you've got the 1871 fire that annihilates 40% of the housing units in the city. And then the industrialists and their kids are looking for a place that's perhaps a little bit less crowded, a little bit less polluted, maybe less dense in terms of fire. So you get architects from all over North America coming to Oak Park. Well, guess what? They also go to River Forest too. And that's a significant part of our history. And to get, you know, the local, you know, when Illinois history, local history is taught in the high school, is to get people to understand what we've got. Because this is really unusual.
Yeah.
That we've got this aggregation of just extraordinary architecture. It was, you know, we benefited from the Chicago fire in a lot of ways. This is not, I mean, between Oak Park and River Forest and Riverside, this is really, it's a pretty unusual place throughout the country. And a way to weave that in, because it is part of our history, just as I'm sure they talk about the fact that there are places in the village that reputedly were stops on the Underground Railroad. That's also part of our history.
See, I don't think people are as plugged into our history as we are, obviously. And even when we talk about something like that, we say is obvious, like the women's club, right? I suspect that just 10 people, you know, 3 of them are going to be aware of the women's club, and one of them is going to be aware it's being sold and having difficulty being sold. Even though there's articles and all that sort of thing. I mean, it's the first rule of public relations. You don't say it once. You know, you have to say it and say it and say it again, and then tell what you told them. You have to tell what you're going to tell them what you told them. And it has to be as much a part of the dialogue of who we are, or, you know, or it's not going to happen. And there's also a generational change happening now. You know, the neighbor that I was just joking about with, you know, trying to keep the deer out, I assure you, he and his wife, young professionals, young kids, they have, if you say women's club, right, they'd look at you with just a totally blank face, and they'd say, I don't know what that is, right? But I do know that there are some pretty problems, and that's why we moved in. You know, they're living in the builders, the brothers.
Burma.
Yeah, they're living in the Burma. I was talking to them once, and I said, you know, you're living in the Burma. They're like, I don't know what that means. But it's got a beautiful tile roof.
I guess the question is, at a time when people don't read, sometimes, you know, the most they read is whatever they got on their iPhone, or when they, you know, people exchanging, God forbid, tweets. We don't have that same level of in-depth awareness and information on anything. So the question is, how do we break through? And you got to do it in a way that's engaging and it's fun. It's not fun. It's just going to, you know, it's just, you know, dead people and dates.
Well, but it can be fun. And I think that the way it can be fun, one of the things, and I don't know if we can tag into this or not, it's always interesting to me. I don't know. Does anybody see anything happening in Oak Park where they're promoting their historic culture? I mean, I really don't see them active in that area either. You know what I mean?
You got the house walk is the
house, but yeah. I don't see the village standing up and saying.
You've got Wright Plus, which will be here this year. It's in River Forest every 4 to 6 years, and it'll be in River Forest this year. Wright Plus, it's put on by the Frank Lloyd Wright Trust. It's 8 private homes plus the Roby House on the University of Chicago campus, Unity Temple, and a home and studio that are open. Typically, it's like the third Saturday in May. It costs to attend. It's $90 to $100, give or take. And it's limited to 1,500 people. And you get people from all over the world. There are two, great house walks in this country. There's one in Pasadena in an area that's referred to as Bungalow Heaven. But other than that, Oak Park's as big as it gets. They did a study. They were getting, it was in the list of top 5 things to do in the United States if you visit on Italian, whatever, with the functional equivalent of Italian public television. It's got that currency. And, to be fair, they've got about a 40-year head start on what we've been doing. But it's clearly part of the DNA of their community. The question is, how do we get there?
Well, so like, that might be an example. Can we, would Wright Plus, before each of the walks goes out, allow somebody to stand up and say, tell them about the history of the town? Can we play that off? Can we leverage that at the parade, right? Can we, there's other things. To your point about, unless it's on the phone, well, they have Thursday night out. Can we go to the village and say, put a booth up? Can we talk a little bit about the heritage of River Forest? Can we, not every week, but a few times over the course of the summer? Come on, guys, you want to see this preserved as much as we want to see it preserved, Who's making that decision? Is that something that we can get a handle on? I mean, there are a lot of, the area seems to be becoming very good at having, at drawing people to where the merchants are. We as a village are trying to participate in that, right? I mean, the redevelopment, the developments that are happening along Lake Street there are all about that, right? Getting people to, getting that to overflow into us. So how do we participate in that? I don't think we have an urgency to get this done. But I think that if we don't start to experiment with this, then we're going to run into a situation where, not 2 years from now, but 5 years from now, we're going to have lost 5 more historic homes. But that might just be, and now with a generational change going on, maybe that's the optimistic picture, because, you'll have people coming in and saying, I'll tear that down, or people whose children are young, just like we have in Franklin, but they're reaching a point where it's like, I've been living here for X years, and I love the village, but I want something more custom. I hate to sound like an old curmudgeon, but I can imagine my neighbors, if they, they've got the gutters, what do you call them, copper gutters?
Inset.
The inset gutters, those are a pain in the ass. I could see my neighbors wanting to rip those off and put on, not copper gutters, because it's such a massive endeavor to do that, and they're not going to be inset, and, they won't blink an eye, because he hates getting up on his ladder and painting those 5 times during the summer. And, when that day comes, he had a damaged gutter on his garage, and he's now got a half aluminum, half copper gutter on his garage. That's not pretty. No, it's a garage, and it's not, you're not going to see it from the street. I'm only offended because I'm on commission, right? But it's pretty ugly.
Maybe I can sort of renew the thought that I suggest every couple of months, and that is, let's all, you know, individually come up with a couple of ideas for the next meeting. I mean, we are in a bit of a, I won't call it a lull, but we're, you know, we're sort of in the wintertime mode. And I think there's, you know, a little creativity.
Yeah, there's room for this conversation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%.
I would only ask that the ideas that come in be restricted to how we educate the village. Because I don't think we've been looking at it just from that angle. We've been looking at it from all angles, right? Sometimes the things that touch on education.
Hmm.
But I'm asking that we think restricted to the issue of education. And maybe part of that conversation can be a conversation with Kathy, where, you know, it's like, Kathy, you know, has this ever been discussed? You know, how do we promote the village? You know, are there tools that we don't know about that the village has? You know, how do we make this something? Is there anything that we don't know about? Now, she'll say bi-weekly, you know, email. That's not going to do it. You know, I mean, our you know, again, not everybody.
What I would do is I would echo what you've said. I'd also ask people to be specific as opposed to, well, we need to get more people involved.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, that's the throwaway. I agree,
100%.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Right. Hey, we do something with the parade?
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Okay.
House walk?
How do you,
beautiful. This
yeah.
is the year. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Right? So who could reach out to the house walk and, you know, we'll sign things and try to maybe follow up on them. Because you're right. It's a beautiful thing to bring this up.
Yeah. Any other thoughts, questions, comments?
Yeah, has anybody seen the garage that was put out in the house by, it's the corner of the house by 7?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You can't miss it.
Yeah.
Did
yeah.
they put
That's
a kitchen in that, John?
No kitchen.
Could they have painted it a whole four different
house? The future structure
I
is
I thought
just
they were supposed to cover that with the bricks.
The bricks from the old garage were going to be used on the addition on the house.
On the addition of the house.
They did a beautiful job on the house.
The garage appears out of scale to my untrained eye. It's like a four-car garage.
Well, then at least painted a dollar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Out of proportions, at least, of the problems. It's like, why don't they paint a canary yellow? Yeah, this is exactly.
But we're not the paint police.
No, I know, but if people are more aware of the heritage, then, you know, you'd be surprised if people will come by and say, but, you know.
I thought she was. I thought, well.
Everybody says that they felt something beautiful. It's good. It's not going to come to time. They have no idea. Right?
Yeah, they were all hot to tear it down and to get in the ground, and they literally just dug the hole within the last X number of days.
Well, they were honest with us. They said they.
And the just going back to that meeting, I mean the commission denied that it, you know, the COA determined it wasn't significantly significant, wasn't historically accurate to do that demolition, right? But I think that the lack of the delay was in a response to the fact that there wasn't anything the commission felt could be done else for that property, that it had run its course over the last 10, 11, 12 years.
Yeah, but
if we didn't allow them to demolish it, it would demolish itself.
The idea of lack of a maintenance on a property that's owned by a lender following a foreclosure is, that's just an ongoing problem everywhere. And that's an unfortunate example here.
What do we know anything about how the Wright Plus House is getting there?
Wright Plus starts reaching out to homeowners because many of them are clustered in the area where David and I live.
My house was on it.
And Brian as well.
4 or 5 years ago, whenever the last River Forest trip was.
I was approached by a couple of people at the trust because, you know, I volunteer for them. And the question was, they had some specific properties they were interested in. Did I know the homeowner? Can I put them in touch? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that they'd start working out the process, because what's involved is it's actually pretty elaborate. There will be a quote-unquote house captain that will do literally like a 10-page biography of the house, starting with hopefully the original plans and going up to the present day. And then there will be research captains who will do they'll determine how much of the house can be shown in terms of how many volunteers do you need to staff how many rooms, the traffic patterns. Sometimes you can't go up to the second floor because the staircases are sufficiently narrow, or there's only one as opposed to up and then down on the side. So that as a result, they go through a pretty extensive process. They wind up picking the homes in early fall to do for mid-May. No.
Is there any way that this could be a conversation with them to say, look, we've got a property that, you know, it's historic, it's beautiful, it's spectacular, it's one of the premier homes, it's unusual. Look what's happening to it, and you know, getting attention to it.
I think they're fully, at this point in time, they're fully booked up. Okay. You know, it's always possible to try for it next year, because in fact, they have done things where, you know, majority of the homes are in Oak Park and maybe one or two is in River Forest or vice versa.
Yeah, I didn't know that they focused on the area.
Yeah. Yeah. They tend to do River Forest every, I think it's 5 or 6 years, give or take.
Well, this is great. So it's now, though. I'll give you one other idea. I didn't make this connection until just now. My wife was just Riverside just had their, not equivalent. And they coupled that with like what term they use, but like a festival. And people were out drinking beer. They had this thing. I'm going to say it all wrong because I didn't do it. My wife came home and said, hey, I volunteered. She wasn't one of the house captains, but she was in one of the historic homes that was on the walk. And she was given a portion of the home. And she had to learn all the details of that portion of the home. And when people came to the home, she was the one. And then what they gave her, and I only know this because she came with a little cheat, was it was some kind of a thing where they had maybe local breweries. I'm just saying this happened, right? And they, you know, you could buy a ticket and you could walk up and you could sample different kinds of beers and all that sort of thing. So it drew in a lot more people than went on the walk, right? And, you know, is that the kind of thing, you know, for you to make some, well, it's close enough.
Yeah, I know that what Riverside does is they do two walks. They do one on the north side of town and one on the south side of town. And they do them, I think, each one is done twice a year, if I remember correctly.
First time I'd heard of this, right?
And in fact, with one of them, they did a brew festival.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
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 Brilliant. A house walk, you have a brew fest, you bring people in. People in the village are sick of winter, you know, they're going to maybe look for a reason to be out. If the brew fest is, you know, in one of the parks, then you've got people, you know, you can put up a booth to talk about the historical aspects of the village, why the village is fantastic.
I believe
it might be a nice way to kind of leverage this happening in the village.
I believe what Riverside does is in connection with what they call the Frederick Law Olmsted Society. Riverside was designed by Olmsted. That's why you get this, in the northern part, that's why you've got streets that are much lower.
Yeah.
They're intentionally depressed because Olmsted didn't want people looking out from their porches and seeing anybody go by.
Yeah.
So it's interesting concept. The the functional equivalent here is the Historical Society, who's already putting on the house walk. So yeah. Yeah. I'll reach out to Frank.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
the only thing I would ask is, you know, if you get the Historical Society, you need to be a part of the Historical Society.
Yeah.
How would they connect to the forest? Do they connect at all?
The Historical Society services both communities.
So it's the Oak Park River Forest Historical Society.
Yeah.
So because it would be great if we're going to do that, if we do that in River Forest, right? It's the walks in River Forest this year, the focus is on River Forest. Next year they could have a Oak Park, they have enough festivals. But it'd be nice to draw people in and be talking about our community. That might be a nice educational opportunity.
My sense is, from listening to what Jana said, she's vastly more involved in this than most folk, is that the Historical Society will be putting on, I think, two additional walks. They've already done two this year in terms of covering various portions of the village, and they are headed east. They did one in the northwest section of the community. They did one in the sort of west central area, and the next one is in the next chunk central over. That's our hood.
My problem is that I don't know that the house walk is the way to accomplish what I'm kind of thinking, you know, or trying to put in front of us here, because even with 1500 people, how many of those people are going to be from River Forest? The people of River Forest have to say this is valuable.
Sure.
Give them, buy a ticket to get a lot of beer. You know what I mean? They're going to stumble over, you know, while they're going to walk over, and they're going to stumble, right? And if it's something where the kids have stuff to do, you know, I know it's crowding the parade here, so we're not going to do better than that. But, you know, it's a shame almost. But you know what? We'll put what we've got. And if they can come out and they come out for the parade, and they start to get the message, because it's all about repetition, right? Yeah. The village is historic. Nature is important to your property values and to, you know, what you're signed up to when you bought here.
We've got a great start with a map that we all labored over.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't talked. I mean, there are people that when they find out that I live in River Forest, the immediate response is, oh, hey, you guys got that map, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like really resonated with people.
Good.
Okay, so we'll talk about it. So the idea is bring more to the January meeting.
Yeah, in terms of some specifics as well.
I think that's a great idea. And if you could reach out to the Historical Society, we could see if we could start thinking about ways to leverage this into something bigger than just the Right Plus Walk.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be awesome.
Great. Any other thoughts other than to wish everyone a happy holiday and safe travels, or whether that's from your dining room to wherever your television is located to wherever you rest in the evening, if that's the extent of the travels, or whether it's much longer.
And am I right, you're getting married this weekend?
Next
yes.
weekend.
Oh,
yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Happens to the best of us.
Thank you.
Do I hear a motion? Oh, we need to pick another date.
Yeah, so the regular date would be January 23rd. It's the fourth Thursday in January.
If we want to do the fourth or the third.
January 3rd or 4th?
No, either January 16th or the 30th.
The 3rd or the 5th Thursday. There's a 5th Thursday.
Honestly, given this discussion, given that May is close,
it's fine by me.
I'm out the first 2 weeks of January.
So this is with Thursday the 16th, that'd be the third Thursday work. Is that, I don't know, when you're back, David?
I'm back, let's see. I believe the 29th for 2 weeks, so that's Yeah, be back. That'd be the weekend of the 12th. I'm back, so.
Okay.
Yeah, get back on the 12th.
All right, let's say
the 16th can work.
16th. Okay. Great. Stamp that in. I'll let Commissioner Forehand know as well. Oh, no. Yeah, we're good. We're good. I'll call a special meeting. That's in.
Yep. Great.
The Bears are losing 7-0. Brian's watching the game. I have to focus.
I had it on my phone. We drove down and threw interceptions, but we held them and got the ball back on a punt. So.
Thanks, everyone. We're adjourned.
Need a motion to adjourn, though. I apologize.
Motion. Second.
Great. All in favor. Thanks. Aye.